In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Welcome back, everybody, to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. You know, we're your partners in wine, crime, time, anything that rhymes.
Danny just got back from BravoCon.
Thankfully, no crimes or scams were committed there. I mean, to my knowledge.
Did you see that article that Monica is suing Heather, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, for botched injections?
And it's funny because I think they're both having, like, it's like, you know, it's like, who said I love you first? Who sued who first is kind of the new thing going on, because Monica's suing Heather for botched injections, but Heather is suing Monica, I think, for failure to pay for things, which I don't know if that payment was about the botched injections. I don't know. I mean, both those ladies on the show I enjoy. I have not had Botox or anything done yet, but if I ever do, I kind of want to do it at Beauty Lab.
In the parking lot, in a Sprinter van.
No, truly, I feel like, I don't know. I'm curious about what is going on with that. And, like, are they going to have the reunion at a small claims court?
Oh, my God. Imagine.
Yeah, I mean.
Judge Judy moderates. Sorry, Andy.
That'd be great. Sorry, Andy, you'll have to. It could be like when Nicki Minaj stepped in for one of the Potomac cards. Like, Andy, you might just have to let Judge Judy pop in. I know. I also was like, it's such small amount of money from a legal standpoint. Well, I guess like from the standpoint of like the last Salt Lake City thing, it was like Jen Shaw, and that was like millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But it was like, I think it was like she's like behind on like $600 a payment and everything. I'm like, you take someone, I guess you do got to take someone to court for that. But like,
yeah, you do.
I always think, I'm like, don't the lawyer fees cost more? Like,
if you sue someone in small claims, you can't bring an attorney.
Oh.
Like, I think you represent yourself. So Judge Judy could happen. And if this becomes a big enough thing, we are going to have to cover it on the pod.
It could happen. I hope so. Because also, I don't know, two housewives representing themselves in court.
I would pay to watch that for sure.
Juror number 5 is going to get wine thrown.
Oh my God.
it's just going to be so chaotic. I mean, yeah. So very curious to see how that shapes up. They were not remotely friendly with each other at BravoCon.
Well, I was reading on Reddit that people were saying that Monica was like alone.
She was. She was very much that heart alone song. And that's sad at her first BravoCon, but I mean, I guess we have to watch the rest of the season to see
what she did.
What painted her into that corner by herself.
Exactly.
And they always say Utah's the place for crime.
Didn't she like inform on Jen Shaw? So truly.
She did. I believe that is part of that entire little circle of life. So yes.
Yes. So.
She's on her vigilante shit.
So that, we'll be keeping an eye on that. Maybe we should just make this podcast a small claims court podcast.
Can I tell you?
Dramatic readings of the
kind
court
of into
dockets.
It. It's the most petty stuff. Yeah.
And I feel like today's episode is actually very timely. I didn't do this on purpose, but the SAG strike ended last night.
Hey, congratulations to everybody. Not a scam. Well, we'll see what Hollywood how they try to make that in their favor, because I haven't read all the details.
Yeah, whatever the AMPTP, is that it? I always mess it up.
You say AM, I just go AM to PM.
So congrats to everybody and the workers, and we're so excited to have TV again and movies.
Yes.
And today we're going to talk about a Hollywood Ponzi scheme. So it all fits.
Ooh.
And I'm not just talking about Hollywood, because that probably is a Ponzi scheme.
I mean, at its core, yeah.
So this story, actually, I remember reading about, I guess, 2 years ago when it broke. And I was like, who is this guy? And just up top, so we got, I would say the majority of our information here is actually just from the filings from the Justice Department and the SEC.
So if anybody has any issues, call your local political power of office and have them connect you to the Department of Justice.
But as always, we do put our sources in the episode notes, but that's where we're getting a majority of the like crime information is just from the filings. So we're talking about Zach Avery, who ran this gigantic Ponzi scheme that I feel like nobody heard of. So he was born Zachary J. Horowitz, according to his IMDb. He was born in December 1986 in Berkeley. But according to American Greed, which did an episode on him, one of Zach's friends says he grew up in Indiana.
Okay.
I feel like that's kind of a lower level scam, but I feel every actor in Hollywood pulls this scam, right?
Oh, about lying with 100%.
Where you're from, how you grew up, obviously your name. Are stage names a scam? I don't know.
Because those are actually, I know a lot of the technical reasons for stage names is because, like, if a SAG actor, if someone's already in SAG with your name, they're like, we have to change
that's
it.
Fair.
That's fair. And also Indiana, I'm like, that's a good, sir, like, Indiana, brag about being from Indiana.
I feel like every person who moves to LA is coming from Indiana or like, yeah. Ohio, starry-eyed.
That handsome, tall, nice Midwest vibes. Yeah, lean
totally.
On that.
So apparently Zach was a popular athlete and his parents did really well. They had like a lake house in addition to their, you know, house that they lived in.
Well,
so
I'll be dead.
That's ballin' as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
If you have a lake house, that's the 1% as far as I'm concerned. JK. So then, yes, he moved to LA to become an actor, as you do. Unfortunately, it didn't really seem to pan out for him. Okay. So according to his IMDb page, he's known, this is the quote, known for movies Minamata, which is 2020 film, Curvature, 2017, and Last Moment of Clarity, 2020 film.
That's more than we could say.
I mean, but I'm not trying to be an actor.
Oh, that's true. But I'll say, you know, I'll give him, he got the trio. And 2020 seems like it was very booked for him despite the pandemic.
Yes. Well,
I guess he was the one actor who was like, I guess even though it came out in 2020, he's like, I'll work in COVID.
Yes. Well, so, okay. He was a producer on one of the movies, which Minamata, which actually starred Johnny Depp, which I'd never heard of this movie, had a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not so bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. But he was only producing on that. Not only because you have to have a lot of money and stuff, but he starred in Last Moment of Clarity, which was a neo-noir. This movie isn't even rated on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
So, like, nobody saw it.
That actually is almost worse than it being panned.
I think so. Well, The Guardian reviewed it. The Guardian gave it 2 stars out of 5.
Oh, no.
I know. Not great. And the first sentence of their review reads, "Brothers Colin and James Crystal and or actor Zach Avery must either be very well-financed or ridiculously persuasive because they've managed to pull together a supporting cast and budget for this debut thriller that far exceeds what the script seems to warrant." Whoop.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
That's not good.
Not good. I know that, and like, also it's so bad that like, because The Guardian, like, it's a place everyone is reading it, so everyone is seeing this being dragged to hell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they also write, "At heart, Last Moment of Clarity is a slight, imaginatively thin B-movie, which doesn't so much as allude to Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window and Vertigo as outright steal from them brazenly,
oh,
ending up with a limp neo-noir that unfolds in the streets of Paris and a classy apartment in Los Angeles." Ah!
All I would read that entire review and I'd be like, I'm imaginatively thin. Oh my God. I'm like, well, thank you. I have been doing Pilates.
So that's the movie that he starred in, and that is how well it did. So he was also in a 2018 thriller called Trespassers that got 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. Not the best average he's working
It's better with. Than half.
Glasses more yes. than half full.
RogerEbert.com gave the movie 1 star and wrote, "Screenwriter Corey DeShawn's pseudo-naturalistic dialogue is generally as unmemorable as the cast's flat performances."
Oh. And also, it's like, I feel like they're like, so you're just attacking everybody. You know what they should put in reviews? And I guess they do. Did you like one thing about it?
One good thing? Yeah. Just they do usually. I just cherry-picked, obviously.
I'm sure the set was gorgeous.
Yeah, for sure. But I just thought it was funny that The Guardian was like, the Zach Avery must have a lot of money or be persuasive because, like, I don't know how they pulled off this shitty movie. And it seems like they were onto something because in 2021, Zach Avery was arrested for running a massive Ponzi scheme. So that writer probably was like, holy shit, I called it.
They were like, oh, I'm onto something. Maybe I'm a crime writer. And you could say this Ponzi scheme was his biggest role yet. I feel this one is, and this was highly reviewed. A lot of people, you know, but it is kind of funny to your point. Even the Ponzi scheme, which he is mainly known for, isn't the most known Ponzi scheme. So even when he can't make a headline to save his life.
Oh my God, that's so true.
The baby boy can't make a splash. Like, he's just in the kiddie pool.
I think that's like the best poetic justice is like, even in crime, he's still not a household name. Even though this Ponzi scheme was like a lot of money.
So much money. I feel people more so are like just guessing about the finances of Brad and Angelina's Miraval vineyard sale versus this man Ponzi scheming.
That's so funny.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In April 2021, Horowitz was arrested on a federal criminal complaint. I don't know you could get... I know it's not... Doesn't mean that'd be so funny. You get arrested for someone's complaining.
I would put so many people in jail.
Whoa. Yes, the way the streets would be empty. It would just be me. And I would then arrest myself because, like, I've just been annoying myself so much. I gotta go in. He was charged with wire fraud.
It's always the one. It's like the wire fraud and the mail fraud. Always get you. Well, I was listening to a podcast and they were like, yeah, the reason every con man gets charged with wire fraud is because anytime you make a transaction with a bank or a credit card, like, that's automatically wire fraud.
Oh.
So yeah, it makes sense.
Sure. Okay. Everybody tread lightly. I mean, just don't do crime.
Do your crimes in cash. But not in the mail.
No.
Because that's mail fraud.
There's no handshake fraud yet. I mean, so you just got to go shake their hands with someone.
But it's this like is where you get the money box, that guy, Victor.
Oh, yes.
Or whatever, the money box.
I'm like, it should be growing soon. It's like Chichia Pet. It's in the corner. I'm like, money should be coming out of there soon, shortly. Oh, my God, though. His victims allege that they put $227 million towards an investment that never saw the light of day. That is insane amount of money, even for, like, the Hollywood vibes.
It's so much money, and I think even the final amount of the Ponzi scheme was, like, much bigger than this.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
So let's break this all down. In 2014, so almost went on for like a decade.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah, 7 years.
Yeah. He started a company called 1NMM, capital LLC.
I'm like, you're one in a million in a lifetime. But okay. What a douchebag move to basically name your company 1 in a million.
Yeah.
That's how many dollars you're getting back from the scheme. You put in a million, you get one back. One.
And also I need everybody to know he spells it like how it would have to be spelled on a vanity plate of a car.
Yes, that's how you like when your ad sales are talking about KPIs and stuff, they just do two M's. Like this is that.
Yes, it's very T9 texting. So he then solicited investors for his company and told them their money would be used to buy regional distribution rights to movies, particularly in Latin America, which they then license on streaming platforms like Netflix or Max or, you know, Peacock, one of those.
I feel like Peacock is like the lower tier of the investment. You know how like there's always.
I know. But now it's like the one I go on the most, I feel.
Oh, yeah, because of Bravo.
Bravo, yeah. And also now, like, Max is, like, very overwhelming to me because now it's, like, 20 million shows all at once.
Yeah, I'll be back there when they have White Lotus or, like, a new crime miniseries.
Girl, not until 2025.
I know. Until then.
Yeah.
I'll be on Peacock.
You gotta get BBC for all the crime.
True.
In promotional materials for the investors, he claimed investing in 1NMM was, quote, unquote, safe. I love someone to be like, guys, don't worry, it's safe. and he said this because we received confirmation from each of our outputs indicating their desire to acquire the rights to any title we purchase prior to us releasing funds for the film. So
I don't know what that means.
I feel it kind of means like it's like a signed, sealed, delivered deal where it's like, oh, like investing in this is so safe because you don't even have to wait for people to want something. They're just like, I want it, I got it.
Well, isn't that the bare minimum? Like, why would you go acquire films that Netflix doesn't even want? You know what I mean? Mm. Like, of course you would confirm with them, ideally, before you...
Yeah, right? You would hope.
I don't know.
He also said HBO and Netflix were his strategic partners and his company brought out wealth of knowledge, reputation, and experience. How do you bring in reputation if nobody knows what your company is? I guess your reputation of not like of being silent. He all obviously faked documents to convince his investors, including fake movie distribution agreements, which like I didn't even know those were really things you could fake, but I guess I wouldn't blame. I mean, I would blame, but I feel like expecting rich people or just anybody to read every page of a document, unfortunately, it's too much in this current generation.
Well, I do feel if you're running a big scheme like this, you have to fake documents. Like yeah. No one's just gonna take it on your word or an email or something. You have to fake like contracts or something.
I feel fake companies are how Kinko's stays afloat because all real companies would just use the printers from their office. But like, where's he printing all this stuff? You know? He also promised returns of 35% or greater. I mean, yeah, I'll take that. He did all of this by selling fake promissory notes, many of which would be due in 6 to 12 months. Principal amounts range from $35,000 to $1.5 million. That's a big change, a big range. And he did this mostly through word of mouth referrals, but he also solicited investors over the phone and through email. Like, just like, hi, do you want to make it big in Hollywood type of stuff, I guess?
I was going to say, like, imagine getting that cold email. What do you think it says? Like, hello, it is I, major movie distributor, Zach Avery.
Yeah, do you want to be ... one in a million? Like, very...
Click this link.
And you know what? A lot of people freaking did.
Yeah.
A lot of people did. This was truly, like, a full-on Ponzi pyramid scheme combo because according to the affidavit, Horowitz raised 5 principal investors who then raised more than 200 downstream investors. He got to work.
Yeah. I feel like truly like a downline. Like he just had those people working for him and finding more people.
Yeah. He's like, hey, you just word them out, pass it on. Was the email it got where it was like, forward this to 10 friends.
Or you'll die.
Like, yeah. Guys, I'm sorry. You gotta pay. Like,
yeah.
It's out of my hands.
Or else you'll have bad luck for 7 years.
And I'm not trying to mess with that. In order to get investors, he'd send them. So like these were like the fake distribution agreements for movies. And here are some of the titles. Behind the Walls, which if anybody listening was like, oh my God, I love that film. good for you because it got a 10% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So I think you are the only person who's seen that.
The only one.
The other one was Lucia's Grace, an Italian comedy drama. Okay, you know what? With a 60% audience score.
Not bad.
I need to actually know what that film
But I'm also like, who? I mean, yeah, I'm like, who is putting their money to get these horrible movies distributed on Netflix?
I know. Okay, wait. Is it bad I'd watch this?
You have?
No, is it bad I want to? Lucia is juggling motherhood with her romance and a career as a land surveyor. When she realizes a new building poses hazards, a mysterious woman tries to convince Lucia that building a church on the troubled site is the answer.
That's so Italian of them.
It's so Italian, so religious, like propaganda-y vibes, yeah, that it's just, huh?
That's funny.
Oh! Wait, if this is the right... It got nominations for things.
What?
The David Di Donatella Award for Best Actress.
Okay.
I'll give that one credit for something. For at least people, yeah, you know...
Better than Behind the Walls.
Behind the Walls. You know what? Now if we're going to do the full circle, let me just find out what Behind the Walls is about, too. A broken family desperately seeks a new beginning in a new home, but this house lives, watches, and wants them to stay forever.
Okay. So every horror movie.
I feel like I've watched 5 horror movies this month that were kind of just in
this plot.
That entire vein. Does not have any awards on that one. And I got to be honest, I don't recognize a single soul who's in it.
I looked it up and I was like, I don't know her. I'm sorry to this man.
Be unhappy. You know what? They don't know us either. So it's all fair.
It's true.
One of them DMs, like, I fucking went to Juilliard and I was
I'm sure they did.
I'm so sorry. As for why people fell for this, the affidavit went on to say, investors found it credible that HBO and Netflix had an urgent need for new content, were willing to pay a premium for that content, had the financial ability to do so, and would pay $1 in a timely fashion for the rights they licensed. One investor stated that, I believed that if HBO was involved, my investment was safe. To their credit, I do get where they're coming from.
Yeah. I mean, they had fake agreements that HBO was involved. So it's like, you know, by all
intents and purposes.
Yes, exactly. They had reason to believe that HBO was involved, you know. Then what are you going to do? Send an email to info@hbo.com and be like, hey, can you confirm? Like, no.
You DM, so their social media manager is like, oh my God, I don't know how to help you with this.
Yeah, oh my God.
But it makes sense because also all those streaming services do a lot of the mentality. I think it's only changing like now, was just more is better. So they would just throw so much. That's why it's like, you can spend 45 minutes looking for a movie on Netflix because they just have so much content.
That's true. Although I do feel at this time Netflix was like losing a ton of money.
That happened in the beginning of 2022.
Oh, okay.
That's when it was like the end of 2021 was when it was first in the red, I want to say.
Noted.
Yes. It was around that time. But also I'm sure that's like when it started getting written about a lot. I'm sure Hollywood, the who's in Hollywood, knew the writing on the wall.
Let's talk about the money, because obviously there were no distribution rights. Zach just used the money to fund his lifestyle and also to pay out earlier investors, because that's how a Ponzi scheme worked. So some of the extravagant purchases that he made include a little over $124,000 on trips to Vegas. $1.8 million on American Express credit card bills.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know. I guess that's what I was like, credit cards can go that high?
I know, seriously.
I'm like, wait, what?
Let me spread it out over 25 cards.
No, truly. And then some in cash.
Yeah. $165,000. Again, more, a little bit more on high-end automobiles. $137,000 on flights on private jets.
Okay.
$54,000 on a luxury watch subscription service.
Sir.
Why does there need to be a Birchbox for everything? How many watches can one person need?
We should dive into the, how those keep on popping up. And also just get one Rolex and then you're fancy.
Yeah, get a watch. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
I'm with you. Then he also bought a 6-bedroom, 8-bath house in Beverlywood that cost $5.7 million. And I got to say, like, I feel like, was one of the Oppenheimer Oppenheim Group girls like selling his house because why does every fucking house in LA have twice as many bathrooms as bedrooms?
Wait.
What is that about?
That is so real. And I don't get, like, I guess like there's like some guest bathrooms, but like, why do you need all that? Also, what is your water bill?
Yes. Every time I watch that show, I'm like, why is that the ratio that's preferred? I don't get it.
Also, I am someone who barely can like people myself. So like I get just like the tasks of life really annoy me. So when I'm like for my singular bathroom have to get more toilet paper, I'm like, oh my fucking God, this is so annoying. To do that times eight,
you
got to
clean eight toilets. I mean, these people aren't cleaning their own toilets. But
exactly. It's annoying. Or make sure like the toothpaste little like stuff on the sink is gone.
So that house had a gym, a wine cellar, a home theater, and a private pool. So,
oh my God.
I mean, like, that's pretty sick.
That is. And I guess for, like, Hollywood-y people, a home theater really does it different.
I think what's actually more egregious is that he spent $700,000 decorating it using a celebrity interior decorator.
Sir.
$700,000.
How is that the how?
Yeah. People just, it's like that meme where it's like, when I win the lottery, I won't tell anyone, but there will be signs.
Oh, wait, 2,000,000%. That is that, like, and I would have so many signs. But that's why you got to always kind of spend, don't take this advice, people, what I'm about to say. Always spend kind of above your means so people will never know. Because they're like, oh, that's so weird. Now he's like rolling around all that. You're like, but no, but if you always kind of do it, no one will be suspicious.
Yes, in the off chance you win the lottery.
Get into massive credit card debt. And other tips. This is not the finance podcast. So the end of this man's schemes that was coming up, because obviously there were no movies. So Horowitz had to just use new investments to pay back old investments. Oh, we've heard that plan before.
A tale as old as time.
Starting in March 2017, he had to start using new investors' money to pay them off. So in March 2017, he made at least three payments to investors using funds raised from other investors, including but not limited to payments of like almost $900,000, about $700,000, and another like $720,000. So like almost a mil each.
Yeah, that's a lot.
A lot of money.
And he was also like transferring some of this money into his own personal bank account too, like during this whole time.
He's like, sorry, there's fees. He's like, I need a cut of that. In November 2018, Horowitz made at least four more payments to investors using funds raised from other people and also all around the $1 million situation. So this was not petty cash. In at least one instance, on or about the month of September 2017, Horowitz falsely represented to an investor group that he was personally co-investing in several of the promissory notes with them.
Uh-oh. To be like, no, like, I'm, you know, I'm on the hook just as much as you, like, you know.
My blood, you're sweat, invested. Tears, cash, all in this. So in 2019, 1NMM stopped making payments to its investors. They're just like, you know what? We're done.
I mean, all Ponzi schemes crumble eventually.
They really do, like a little blue cheese on a salad. Little gorgonzola crumbles. And then Zach had to start coming up with excuses for why he couldn't give them back their money. Hey, guys. Yeah. He first blamed Netflix and HBO for failing to pay him.
Like, yeah, that's smart. Just point the finger.
Point the finger, be like, these streaming services. And again, to your point, Sarah, they can't email the help desk at HBO to be like, hi, do you know where my 800 grand is?
Yeah, oh my God.
He told one investor that while he had intended to sue HBO for non-payment, that he was instead able to obtain an alleged consolidation distribution agreement, pursuant to which HBO would immediately pay its past due payments to 1NMM.
So he's basically just like, just wait, I got this agreement with them, like the money is coming. Kind of like those romance scams.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're like, oh, you know, I just need to borrow money. I'm waiting for a huge settlement. But once I get it, I'll pay you right back.
It tugs on everybody's dreams. It's like, oh, the dream of love and the dream of money. He then also sent the investors fake documents, including a term sheet, which HBO Latin America Holdings, and a draft from one of the consolidation distribution agreements with HBO Latin American Holding. All of that, you're like, okay, HBO Latin American Holding sounds legit, looks legit, right? Well, there is no company called HBO Latin American Holdings.
Yikes.
And this is where not a single Googling happened to everybody else. I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying, like, Google didn't mean, did you mean you got scammed? So HBO Latin American Group is what licenses third-party rights for content distribution in HBO Latin America.
Oops.
Uh-oh. But he still kept these schemes. Big wheel keeps on turning. Proud schemes keep on rolling, as Tina Turner never sang, but kind of sang in that song. in December 2020, he claimed a collections account was established at Freeway Entertainment, a collections account management company, and that HBO...
So he's like, I'm sending Netflix to collections?
I'm obsessed. You don't understand. You don't understand? That's such an iconically insane power move.
You're sending loan sharks to Netflix?
Like...
What?
Chrishell's like, now why am I in this? So HBO also, he said then HBO deposited money due to 1MM in that account on multiple occasions.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
Spoiler alert, that didn't happen. He also sent fake negotiations between himself and HBO, and this is from the affidavit. So Horowitz claimed to copy and paste fake emails from HBO into text messages that he then sent to investors. Like, what? Okay, that's the point where I'm like, all right, a copy paste job? Like, not even a screenshot? Not even a PDF?
Right? It's very insane.
These included an email suggesting that HBO had future business deals for 1MM that would be very lucrative. So they're like, no, we promise you, like, we'll give you your money back and then some.
And then some.
But this is actually my favorite part because in March 2021, mind you, like a month before he's arrested, he starts telling investors that they could actually start giving him money to help with his legal counsel to sue HBO for payment.
It's impeccable.
That's hilarious. They're like, no, I know I owe you money, but I actually give more money so I can sue to get your money.
Right. It's like, you're like, don't you want to play the long game and win?
Yeah. I love that. So he was arrested in April of 2021. And all in all, he raised $650 million for his Ponzi scheme. I've seen two figures. I've said like up to $650 million. I've also heard like around $230 million. So I'm not really sure, but I think that was like the total throughout the years.
Insane.
And I think the extra fucked up part is that apparently three of his closest friends were some of his investors.
And also you're like, you just want to tell them he was never your friend to begin with.
Well, obviously.
They're like, okay, but where's my million?
So in October 2021, he pleaded guilty to a federal charge of securities fraud. And in February 2022, he was sentenced to 20 years in federal prison.
Damn.
And he has to pay back more than $230 million in restitution, which I'm like, good luck with that.
I don't know if that is going to happen.
But I'm also like, how did this man get more prison time than Elizabeth Holmes?
Wait.
I'm kind of surprised.
That's a good question. Because she was dealing with people's like livelihood, like life.
Like health, sort of.
Yeah.
And he just scammed a bunch of Hollywood people.
And that's right. He's kind of just like fucked around with people at Soho House.
Right. And he pleaded guilty. I don't know. That's very interesting to me. Mm. So prosecutors said defendant Zachary Horowitz portrayed himself as a Hollywood success story. They wrote this in a sentencing memorandum. They say he branded himself as an industry player who, through his company, leveraged his relationships with online streaming platforms like HBO and Netflix to sell them foreign film distribution rights at a steady premium. But as his victims came to learn, Horowitz was not a successful businessman or Hollywood insider. He just played one in real life.
Oh.
Burn. That's
burn,
funny.
Baby, burn. It also is funny. He does really look like, on Google Image, he looks like someone who went to acting school, but then was like, fuck it, I'll just try to go on The Bachelor.
I feel like he could have done that. He would have, you know, gotten more steady income that way.
He really, 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 really showed up. Oh my God, and he has like kids too. Like, come on, sir. Yeah, but it's funny. I highly recommend everybody going to look at his headshots because he has like his face and probably just upon knowing what we know now, he does kind of have like American Psycho-y Hollywood vibes in the sense where it's like the smile is just like, hire me, or like, it looks like he would steal from me. Yeah.
Maybe we should put up a picture of him on the Instagram.
We definitely should. Yeah, I'm kind of insane. Like, you're right though, 20 years.
He should have just gone on The Bachelor. I'm looking at this guy.
No, right?
Like, yeah, he would have, I feel, done great.
Or like, wow. I could also see him like chilling, acting, living his life. It was very interesting.
Well, I think he would have liked to be chilling and acting, but he didn't get in many movies.
But I mean, acting in like, there are no small parts, only small actors.
That's true.
So he could have been having his time somewhere else.
That's true.
Oh, Lord.
But unfortunately, he turned to crime.
He turned to crime, and that is why he was on the show.
His biggest part yet.
He got booked here, so congratulations to all involved. And I mean, very good find, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, so that's that. I love a good Hollywood scam. I feel like there's got to be so many of them.
So many. So yeah, always keep us in the loop if you hear of any, or hopefully, I hope you were not, if you are part of one on the getting scam side, we're very sorry, but let us know. And if you are the one currently scamming, don't tell us yet. We'll find out when you get arrested.
Yeah, send us the arrest warrant, affidavit, whatever. We'll read it.
But you can post all that in the group, Not Another True Crime group on Facebook, or follow the Instagram on Instagram at Not Another True Crime.
Or you can follow me on Instagram at Sarah Lameme.
And I'm Cashmere Danny Cashmere, okay?
And thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week.
Not Another True Crime podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico, Sean Kilby, and Rebecca Sosmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Lameme. Be sure to follow at Not Another True Crime on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send all of your emails to natc@betches.com.
Betches.